And good afternoon, Scott Spears back with you here on Halloween, October 31st, 2018, 20 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and we thank legendary comedian Shecky Green for coming on in hour number one. Nobody better to have on in the holiday spirit than Shecky Green. Now, conversely, this hour, we have somebody who is also very important to have on this time of year, because Halloween this year means 6 days to Election Day. And from the things that I am hearing, more people have early voted in this election already than did in the presidential election of 2016. Well, who better to call on than to figure out what might happen on next Tuesday than a gentleman who's been on this show several times, but you probably hear him most often on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp every Monday morning here on this station from 10:10 until 11 a.m. Adam and he do a great job every Monday discussing the week that was in the political world and with all the things going on. As I say, it's always a pleasure to welcome to these microphones author, political scientist, professor, Dr. Ronald Fineman. Dr. Fineman, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Scott. Thank you again very much for inviting me. I'm delighted to be on.
It's good to have you on here, and we are 6 days away from the big night, 2018. What do you see happening?
I see a big blue wave, although not in the Senate. I think the Senate, I predict, will end up 50-50. There'll be a gain of one seat, and it'll make it even, but Vice President Pence will still be able to, of course, organize the Senate to be Republican. I do think that Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota is going to lose her seat, but I do think that Arizona and Nevada will be gained by the Democrats, so it'll be a gain of one seat. Now, as far as the House, I think it'll be between 40 and 45 seats. They need at least the Democrats 23 seats to become the majority. Typically, in any midterm election, the party not in the White House gains about 30 seats. So 30 is more than 23. I think it's going to be in the range of 40 to 45. But I see this morning that some polls are predicting it could be much higher. It could be a tremendous blue wave. I see it more as middling, like 40, 45, which is great, but it's not like some people say 50 or 60. I don't think it'll go that high. And then the governorships, there's 16 Democrats now. I think there'll be probably 25 or 26 governorships. And as I just wrote this morning, all the Midwest, the states that are having governorship elections, and that's including Ohio and Michigan and Wisconsin and Minnesota, and also Iowa, and also West State, believing out, I guess Wisconsin, I didn't say. Ohio, Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, all of them, Minnesota, Democratic already, the other five seem likely to go blue as well for the governorships. And that will have an effect on reapportionment of seats in the House of Representatives after the census of 2020, and also on state legislative reapportionment.
So you feel that in Ohio, as we elect our 70th governor, Rich Cordray, the Democrat, Mike DeWine, the Republican, you see Rich Cordray with an edge there.
Yes, I do, and I also think Sherrod Brown will win the Senate seat again in Ohio, yes.
Well, the interesting thing is the representative race between Danny O'Connor and Boulderson. Where's that going to go?
Well, I think a lot of these congressional seats that are, that have been Republican are in trouble now in the suburban areas of the Midwest, and California and Pennsylvania and elsewhere. And I do think a lot of them will be going, I think, blue. I can't be sure about that specific seat, but I do think a lot of them are going to go blue, and that's where the Democrats are going to gain a big number, 40, 45 seats.
Now, as you just discussed and explained in the Senate, it could come down to then the Senate race in Texas, because if Beto defeats Cruz, that would put the Democrats in charge in the Senate.
Yes, I don't really see it happening. I want it to happen personally. One thing about Beto, though, it's really interesting. Some people are saying, win or lose, that he's a national star. A lot of young people like him, just like they like Bernie Sanders. And some people even think he might run for president even if he loses, which would be hysterical. It would be quite funny. But some people think he would be a presidential candidate, win or lose, even though he would just be entering the Senate or losing his congressional seat from El Paso. But he really has taken on a popularity level that is amazing, and I'm hopeful he can win, because in my mind, Cruz, as you know, from my progressive perspective, is the worst of the people running on the Republican side. I have a short list of people I want to see defeated. He's one, and Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker I really want defeated, and he seems to be behind. And I want to see Rick Scott denied a Senate seat in Florida after leaving the governorship. And I want to see Marsha Blackburn, Congresswoman from Tennessee, not win that seat. But it's going to be hard in Tennessee and Texas. But if they could both go that way with, you know, Democratic and Arizona and Nevada, even if you lost North Dakota and maybe, let's say, Missouri, Claire McCaskill, you still would have a Democratic majority. But I guess I'm just not that optimistic that's going to happen.
You don't think Florida in the Senate could end up going Democrat?
Oh, I think it will, actually. I do think it will, yes. And it is Democratic already, so I do not see that seat being lost. I don't think Scott's going to be able to do it this time. He only won the governorship by 1% each of the two times he ran. And I think Florida, you know, I think that the Democratic Party and independents and suburban women and minorities and young people are really geared up after everything that's happened environmentally in Florida and also the Parkland massacre and all that. I really think the state is going to go blue, both for the governorship with Andrew Gillum and also keep the Senate seat of Bill Nelson, yes.
What about the governor's race in Georgia with Stacey Abrams?
That's going to be a tough one. I sense that she will win, but a lot depends on how much Brian Kemp can fool around with the vote count, since he is the Secretary of State, you know, just as in Kansas with Kris Kobach, also interfering in that race. That's a race that could also go Democratic in Kansas, by the way. Could. Unlikely, but could. But the problem is these states, Secretaries of State should not have impact as they're leaving that office on who can vote. And that's why I think, and I wrote an article about it about a week ago, I think both Iowa and, not Iowa, I mean Kansas and Georgia really are states where you could call the result maybe highly corrupt because of interference by one of the candidates who would benefit from his interference, and that's not proper behavior.
Mm. What do you see? Well, do you think there will be a challenge in Georgia, no matter what, to the outcome?
Well, yes, unless one of them wins much more than 50%. But in Georgia, there's also a third candidate. If no one wins 50% plus one, there is a runoff at the end of November. So there'll be a second round of this, and it'll be between the two of them, Kemp and Abrams, unless one of them can actually win over 50%. But that's unlikely because of the independent candidate that's apparently going to gain a few percent. So I think it will be a runoff, and it will be very contentious, and we will not know whether the Democrats have a majority of governorships until that race is settled. And also in Kansas, because I have a feeling it's going to happen there. It's going to be very close, and there'll probably be a challenge after the results, in that state. And that state desperately needs change from the kind of poor leadership I think has had in that state of Kansas.
I do want to announce this. I just got this note from the mayor that obviously everybody knows today is Halloween, and it is raining here.
Yes.
It's raining here in Marion, but there have been no changes to the schedule for the city's trick-or-treat tonight from 5:30 to 7:30. It still will be 5:30 to 7:30.
I hope it stops raining.
We hope. So that's the way the city ordinance reads, and that's the way it'll go. So it will remain tonight. So that was the announcement. We just couldn't come to a time frame with the mayor there. So now we've gotten that out. Why is the race for governor so close here in Ohio?
Well, I'll tell you, if John Kasich had a chance, I guess he couldn't have a third term, or was it just he chose not to? I think it's his term limit, isn't there, I believe? I'm not sure in Ohio.
Yeah, term limits.
Whether you can have a third term. Do you have any idea on that?
I
don't know.
Yeah, it's term limited.
Okay, if he had not been term limited, I think he would have had a very good chance of winning a third term. But I don't think I don't think Mike DeWine is anything like a John Kasich. I think he's a lackadaisical candidate, and I think Richard Cordray is really an exceptional candidate, and he's very good on the environment, of course, the issue of the environment, and also on consumer finance and all that. And I think that's a real plus. And I think, having been a Jeopardy champion so many times, I do think that also adds some stature to him.
But yet it is still close. All the polls I see in Ohio show them equal.
Well, a lot of the races, even in most states, they're very close. And, of course, there's always the danger of collusion, possibly by Russia or China or Iran or North Korea. There are all rumors about this. Who knows whether we'll be able to believe the results, but we will get results Tuesday night, Wednesday, and some of them will be delayed, like for the House, on how many seats. It'll take longer, probably, to have a definite count, to have at least 218. But, yeah, it's we have a democracy that's very much split down the middle, and it's going to be very close. But I think there is a feeling in the country, it seems, by majority, based on polls, that this is a referendum on Donald Trump, not just on the people running. And he's not doing very well in popularity right now. And the way he's behaved in the last few weeks, it just gets worse by the week.
What have you seen in the last few weeks that has bothered you?
Well, I've seen him, you know, indeed not acting presidential in the sense of how he reacted to the mail bombings that went on. Thank God nobody got hurt. His reaction to the, to the murders in the synagogue was not the proper way. The fact that he does incite people with his white supremacy mentality that he promotes, and he doesn't realize the power of words. And it's just, and also, I don't like what's happening with Saudi Arabia. I don't think he's holding the Saudi prince accountable for Khashoggi's murder. I just think on almost everything, it's like you always feel, as I said, we've had, as of this week, we've had 92 weeks of Trump, and you always say, well, it can't get worse. And I think it's constantly getting worse. You know, looking back, it never gets better. There's always a new crisis, a new issue, and he really has no presidential empathy, no compassion. And this is something that's really a very upsetting thing for, I think, for anybody who's a decent person who thinks we have to be concerned about what happens to others and not be so disengaged as he is. But that's him. He's been that way his whole life. He's not going to change.
1 week from today, we will have the results from the election. What do you think the president will be saying 1 week from today?
Well, if it ends up that if it's true, we might not know for sure about the House, you know, every race by Wednesday. But if the Republicans keep control of the House, which is really not very likely, he will brag and boast and claim he brought it about. If he loses that, and if they lose the Senate too, you know, if that was to happen, which we may not know for sure right away, and even the governorships, if indeed they keep the majority of governorships, or if indeed they lose the governorships, what I'm saying, then I think he will claim that it's false results, that it's a fixed election. He will not accept the result. He's already hinted at that. He hinted that before the election of 2016, that he would not accept a defeat. So I think he might create a real turmoil, claiming that he's been robbed or the party's been robbed, and it will continue the tumult and turmoil that's going on, and that's very worrisome.
If the Democrats do win, and we say that's because of the anger at President Trump, if the Republicans win, doesn't he have a right to boast a little bit?
I suppose. I guess he does. But I can't actually imagine the House not going Democratic. It's only 23 seats, you know, and that's not much. And the normal tradition has been 30, 35 seats at least. To believe they wouldn't at least gain 23, 24 at the minimum, it's very hard to believe, and it would make me skeptical that the vote count was honest. And I think that's the problem. Both sides are going to think that the vote count is dishonest because they, you know, but we'll have to accept, obviously. We're not going to start bloodshed and revolution, but I can imagine some Trump supporters might be willing to take action if they think that the Democrats have taken over and are going to, as they see, victimize Trump by subpoena. So it's very, very scary situation we're facing.
Well, here's what I wonder. Let's say the Senate does end up 50-50 with Pence being the deciding factor, and of course that would be Republican. One thing I'm interested in is that Mitt Romney more than likely is going to be in the Senate. Orrin Hatch.
Oh, I would say certainly he would. If he doesn't win, that's really revolutionary. So, if Jenny Wilson beats him, yes.
Right. So Orrin Hatch will no longer be in the Senate. Now, last time I checked, Romney was very critical of the president. So is he going to be as sure a vote as Orrin Hatch was?
I think the impression I got, he had an interview recently. He seemed to try to tone down his opposition and said that he thought Trump had done a lot of things he agreed with, which surprised me. I do think that he will probably not be as loyal as Hatch. That's true, but I don't think that he's going to be a real problem. I think the real problem is going to come from outside by people challenging Trump for the Republican presidential nomination, and I see a number of people that I think will do so, including John Kasich, I think is certain.
But do you think that's going to work?
About John Kasich?
Yeah, what never has worked before. challenging.
Well, it's true that we've never had a sitting president in the 20th or 21st century denied renomination of his party, but by having a contest in the primaries and caucuses, what it has done is to lead to that president losing re-election, and that happened with William Howard Taft in 1912. It happened with Herbert Hoover in 1932. It happened with Jimmy Carter in 1980 and Gerald Ford in 76 and George H.W. Bush in 1992. So I guess even if he does not accomplish that, Kasich, I think it would weaken Trump, and if he's on the ballot, if he's still in office, and I think would make it, based on history, unlikely he would win re-election, and that would be a contribution, even if he couldn't stop him, for the nomination.
I think it would be unlikely that Mitt Romney is just going to stop at the Senate. I mean, that's, of course, all he's talking about now. But a man who ran twice for the presidency, got the nomination of his party once, and is now going into the Senate, I find it highly unlikely that he would just sit in the Senate and maybe run for re-election there, and that's all he would ever do.
Well, I think what you're saying is much like you say about Hillary Clinton. You don't think he's going to give up, because now I see Hillary Clinton is half indicating that she doesn't necessarily want to run, but she wants to be president. And I thought right away of you, what you've been saying all along. And who knows? Boy, we could have a tumultuous time if she announces. And if Romney announces, I guess it'll get even more press than John Kasich announcing, I suppose.
Well,
it will be an interesting next 2 years. There's no question about it.
Well, here's what I've always believed, and this goes for Romney as well. Romney, of course, is not going to say he's going to run for president. He's running for the Senate. And, of course, Hillary is not going to say she's running for president. She was just the candidate last time. But when the Mueller report drops, that'll change things for Hillary. And once Romney's in the Senate, I think that'll change his perspective when he doesn't have to run for that anymore. Then you'll see real intentions.
Well, also with everybody else, because none of the other people we know are going to run or announcing. They're all saying we're working on the midterm or my reelection, you know, like Cory Booker, let's say, or Amy Klobuchar and others. So, of course, they're not going to announce. But I think by the end of the year, we're going to have a lot of people announcing on both, more on the Democratic side, but a few on the Republican side, because the Iowa caucuses are February 2020. The New Hampshire primary is mid-February 2020, and the big, which I wrote about, the California primary moving from June to March, March 3rd, 2020, is going to be the biggest one because of the most delegates there, and that's going to really make for a battle among up to five Californians who might actually announce for president, with, I think, Kamala Harris having the advantage, but also others in, you know, from California, including Eric Garcetti, the mayor of L.A., Eric Swalwell, the congressman from the 15th district, which I wrote about, Tom Steyer, the billionaire who's been involved in the impeachment campaign, and possibly the new, most almost certainly new governor, Gavin Newsom. And even some people even say Jerry Brown is hinting he might even at 82 run, which is hysterical. He's 80 now. That would be unbelievable if he was to run. So we could have a lot of Californians in, and California is going to be the crucial state on delegates March 3rd, 2020.
Well, here's what I think Hillary's doing at this particular point. I think she's looking around and seeing exactly why she lost last time. And I think she's also looking at these people who are getting the most attention for running. Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Jerry Brown. And she's saying, I'm younger than all these people.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
So, you know,
that's true. She's also younger than John Kerry. Some people think John Kerry, 2004 candidate, might also run. And Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York, who's also older. They're all older than her. But there's also a lot of younger ones who I think a lot of people would want someone younger, like an Amy Klobuchar, who would be 60, or Chris Murphy of Connecticut, who's going to be 47, or Mayor Eric Garcetti, who would be 49. And those are my three that I've been really promoting, because I think a younger, newer generation would be preferable, even though I'm still a fan of Joe Biden, I have to admit.
I don't know that any of them could handle Trump. I think that's the problem. I think if you're a young politician and you've just been in a statewide election and you go up against this guy who loves to bait people and has an interesting appeal to certain people across this country, I don't know that a Cory Booker or a Kamala Harris or a Kristen Gillibrand next to him and the way he promotes himself, people are going to say, who's that standing next to him?
Well, notice I didn't mention those three. Those are not the ones I'm boosting. I'm boosting others that people don't hear as much about, Klobuchar, Garcetti, and Murphy. But, well, I don't know. Kamala Harris is not a lightweight when it comes to knowing how to debate, and she's very charismatic. and all that. And Cory Booker is a good debater. You know, I just have my doubts that they could actually be the nominee, because I don't know if we're ready for another case of a person who is not white. I'm sorry to say, not because I have a problem with it, but being mixed race in the case of Harris and being African American in the case of Booker, I think is probably a problem for many voters. Unfortunately, it should not be, but I think that could be a real problem.
So you are kind of the Michael Avenatti school, that it has to be a white male?
Not Michael Avenatti, oh my God, no.
No, but that's what Avenatti said.
But I do think probably a white male or a white female, possibly, but not a mixed race or minority female. And that's terrible, because there should not be a factor, and it isn't for me personally. I would be backing any of them, but I do think, but Michael Avenatti absolutely is not the kind of person.
No, but I mean, that's what he said.
No, absolutely not.
But that's what he said that last week. He said it's going to have to be a white male. And he got in a little trouble for saying that.
Well, I would say white person, maybe male or female. I wouldn't necessarily leave out female. But I do think it would be probably easier in a race. But, you know, but of course we did elect Obama, and it was wonderful and fantastic. So who can say? But I don't know. The way the country is going now, I don't know. It's such a mess we're in. It's such a mess, you know, where even the issue of Judaism comes up, and have to worry about anti-Semitism, because some of these candidates also are Jewish, you know, and that's worrisome too, you know, that it should not be an issue, but unfortunately it is.
Well, I think it's interesting that, 17 Republicans who ran last time, and they were all younger than Donald Trump, and they were all more politically seasoned than Donald Trump, and they all lost.
And I think we're going to have more than 20 Democrats probably starting off the race, yeah.
So I think you have to have some national exposure if you've got 20 Democrats on the stage. It cannot be somebody who, somebody who's not involved in politics doesn't know their name. That happened to Bernie. I think had he been better known, maybe he could have been a contender, but he just was not known until primary time.
So really what you're saying is the next time either Hillary or Joe Biden are probably the only top choices that you think have a real chance to compete.
I think if John Kerry would like to get in there, people know who he is, and I think people know who Bernie Sanders is now, and I think people know who Elizabeth Warren is, but I don't think that'd go over very well.
No, Elizabeth Warren, I think, probably shot herself in the foot with her reaction to the whole Native American issue. I don't think she handled that terribly well, And I don't think she can ever get rid of that issue the way he calls her Pocahontas. But it's outrageous, the kind of misbehavior and bad language and ridicule that the president uses against everybody. But it's going to be a tough race, and I'm still hopeful that he will not be in office, that Mike Pence will be finishing up the term, and would definitely get a challenge if he is in office.
Well, see, I think that becomes
his own party.
Well, I think that becomes the problem if Trump does have to resign over the Mueller report, because if the Mueller report, if the final findings are that there were collusion with Russia by the Trump campaign to defeat Hillary Clinton, then how do those Democrats stand up on that stage and go, well, we are the better person, but actually the person we had last time actually won, but we don't really want to hear from her now?
Well, I tell you, on Facebook, I see when I posted on that, you know, the article, people said, no more Hillary. It's like people are tired of her. Of course, that's just that group that, you know, that answers. But I think a lot of people feel she's been around the block a couple, even Joe Biden, they would argue, has been around the block a couple of times. Romney's been around. A lot of people seem to want someone fresh and new, but... I guess that's not America. What? That's just people that react to what I post.
Why do you think Hillary Clinton's going on this listening tour?
I suppose because she's hinted that she wants to be president. Not sure she wants to. She jokes about it. Not sure she wants to run for it. I suppose that she is waiting to see if Mueller comes up with a report soon, but maybe Mueller will not come up with a report soon. I have a feeling it will be soon, but we really don't know. It might go on for another year, and we will not know. So then, if it doesn't come out soon, it would not have any effect really at any point soon on the 2020 primaries.
Well, I think people are going to hold their breath, because I believe it will come between election time and Christmas.
I would tend to think so, too. And actually, he was... he was appointed on May 17th, so I've been thinking to myself, wouldn't it be appropriate if it happened around November 17th, which is about 10 days after the midterms? That would be very appropriate in a sense of a time factor, a year and a half.
Well, I think one of the reasons that will happen is I think they want to do it close to a holiday so they don't have riots. They tend to like to do things like that. And I think another thing, reason they will do it at that time, I don't know how many people have forgotten this. I was saying this yesterday to somebody. You know, Manafort was supposed to have a second trial. It never happened in September. And he's met with Mueller continuously since early September. Cohen has met with him several times and is set to be sentenced in December. So we know that he's spilled all his beans. And who's left now? I mean, I
nobody
think,
major, at least, yes. And there's a lot of people who pleaded guilty, yeah.
And there's always
yeah,
been...
Yeah, I think it would tend to be soon, but really, we don't seriously know. And then there's some who have said that they think Mueller will come up with nothing substantive. I've read some articles saying that. I don't know what basis that is on, but I hope that's not the case. That would be actually quite shocking if he comes up with nothing substantial.
Well, I guess everybody... Cohen's already pleaded. Manafort's been found guilty, and now I think he's looking for a plea deal. Flynn has pleaded. Papadopoulos has been sentenced. And there's going to be another round of indictments. And I think people think it has to go to the president. I'm not sure about that. If it's Ivanka, if it's any of the kids, if it's Jared, the son-in-law, I think the moment they're indicted, which they are indictable, there's some question about the president, that will be the end of the Trump presidency, especially if the Democrats have the House, because the moment he pardons them, which he most certainly will, if he'll pardon Joe Arpaio, then they'll have the power to impeach him.
He also pardoned Dinesh D'Souza. Oh, my gosh. The kind of characters he has pardoned. It's amazing. Yes, but the only problem with the impeachment, again, is that it does not mean conviction in the Senate. You need a two-thirds vote. And even if the Democrats were to win four Senate seats from the Republicans and not lose any and have 53-47, they still are 14 votes short. And I don't know if we would get 14 out of, 47 Republicans to do what they did at the time of Watergate. I don't, which I think it was clear they were going to indeed convict him if Nixon had gone to trial. Every indication was Barry Goldwater said that at the time. You wouldn't get 10 votes in the Senate. I don't know if that's going to happen with Trump. So the impeachment would be historically significant, but it wouldn't necessarily force him out on its own.
I don't know. It depends on who gets indicted, what is able to be done. And we did learn, again, this was just a little blip in the last few months, that the president did get questions from Mueller that he and his lawyers are answering. So clearly, Mueller has questions for the president.
Yes, and I do think out of the whole family, Jared is the one most endangered, I honestly think. And I think more than Donald Jr. or Ivanka. And he doesn't look very good after what's happened in Saudi Arabia either.
I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. I think it'll happen during the holidays. And I think when it does happen, it's going to be a mess because I'm not sure what it'll do to the stock market. I'm not sure what it'll do to the economy. And I'm not sure what a lame duck Congress will do at that time. If we'll just have to wait till January.
Probably. And the thing is that I think we have to realize we have the longest expansion of the stock market in history, 8 years, and it's got to start going down because nothing that goes up stays up in the economy. So we're going to have a downturn in the economy at some point. And I think it's likely to be in the next year, but the question is timing. But that could also have an effect on politics and how people look at President Trump or President Biden.
You know, I just haven't been sold on the idea of Kasich yet. I just don't understand. I still don't think people know who he is in great detail. Outside of Ohio, he's the guy who pops up on the news every so often. But I don't think they know much about him, and I think that was his problem last time.
Well, but he has been a national figure for years, really. He was in the House of Representatives. He was on Fox News Channel for a while as a news person. And I think he's been on a lot of, talk shows or a lot of, I guess you call it, interviews on cable news. I still see Kasich as a very solid personality.
But isn't he also in that category of a guy who's lost twice?
Well, in 2000, he really didn't stay in it long. He entered the race in 99 and dropped out very quickly. He really wasn't in the race for long. In 16, he did last longer and did, of course, win his home state. He's also only in his mid-60s. He's not as old as the others we're talking about. But all along, even years ago, I may not have agreed with Kasich and everything, but I've always respected and admired him. And I think he's been quite a good governor of Ohio, but I'm not sure that's going to carry over to his Republican successor who hopes to replace him as governor. I don't think Mike DeWine is John Kasich in any way. I don't think it's going to help.
I think it's very interesting that his own lieutenant governor, when she was running for governor, Mary Taylor, and his attorney general, Mike DeWine, both did not want his endorsement. They wanted Trump's endorsement, not his.
And I think that's a mistake on Mike DeWine's part. I think that's one of the reasons I think he's going to lose. Because I think, you know, I think they should have wanted Kasich, and they should have followed Kasich. Kasich showed some courage. He didn't show up at the Republican convention in his own state in 2016. I thought that was quite admirable.
But, you know, a lot of people didn't like it.
Well, in politics, you're going to make enemies and friends all the time. Just as people listening to this program, some will nod yes, and others will say, ugh, you know, be annoyed that you and I are saying what we're saying. That's politics. You know, we have different views, and it's up to the people who vote. The only thing is, we hope enough people vote. Apparently, more are voting, but I also gather that many people are sitting on the sidelines disgusted, and the answer is, if you're disgusted, you have to participate. You don't sit on the sidelines and let others, you know, do it, but yet that's what's happening.
I think it's going to be an interesting election night because it could be 2016 all over again.
Well, I don't think it's going to be settled by midnight or even early Wednesday completely. We'll have some sense, but there'll be a lot of close elections, and the House seats will certainly probably drag on for up to a week beyond, and the Georgia governorship probably will have a runoff. And we may have a majority. We may be able to say there's a majority, but not all the races will be settled in 24 hours. No, of course not. But this is a very crucial election because, in my mind, if the Republicans keep control of both houses, it is seen as an endorsement, and also the governorships, it will be seen as an endorsement of Trump, and then I think we're going to see a greater wave of movement toward authoritarianism, and then I think we're really in trouble.
Well, it's going to be interesting because if the Republicans do keep power, what will happen then?
Well, they're talking about cutting Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and probably finally getting rid of Obamacare for good, although the margin probably would be smaller in the House. It wouldn't be, I'm sure the Democrats will gain seats, but whether they can, you know, if they don't win 23, imagine, in fact, I had an article on my blog, I said, what if it's a 218-217 House and a 50-50 Senate, which could happen. We could have a one-vote margin. It's happened a number of times in the past, and that's a real problem. Now, one thing I wanted to also point out is that there is a chance, because of a lot of harassment of Lisa Murkowski in Alaska because of her vote against Brett Kavanaugh, that she's being barred and threatened with trouble, you know, in the future. And she actually rewon her Senate seat in 2010 as an independent after losing the Republican nomination. And the theory some people have is that if she's harassed enough, she could decide to switch from Republican to independent or Democratic. And if we had a 50-50 Senate and Lisa Murkowski decided to leave the Republican Party, it could make it actually that the Democrats would control the Senate. That would be something interesting. It's happened a few times before that people have changed the balance of the Senate in that way, and it happened with Jim Jeffords in Vermont back in 2001, so it could happen again in theory.
Well, Marion County, where I sit, is split into two different areas as far as congressional goes. We have Jim Jordan and Janet Garrett on one side, and then we do have a little swath of Marion County, which falls into the Danny O'Connor-Balderson thing. And the Danny O'Connor-Balderson thing seems close to me, and if he would win the old T-Berry seat, I would find that fascinating. And, you know, I noticed that Jim Jordan is running ads all of a sudden. I have not seen that in recent weeks. Jim Jordan's
well,
got
I'll
television.
Well, I'll tell you, Jim Jordan, if he was to keep his seat and the Republicans won the majority, or even if they don't, he could be the Republican leader of the House, either the minority leader or be the Speaker of the House. In theory, he's one of the contenders for it, and I think that's something people in your area have to think about. Do they want to have a person like this being the leader of the Republican Party? Obviously, many would, but I think it's something to think about. Is this an improvement over Paul Ryan, for instance?
Well,
I don't think it is.
He's been here for a while.
Yes.
And Bloomberg.
But he's also got that scandal that still has not been resolved, right, about Ohio State?
Yeah.
The wrestling scandal?
Not too much.
I don't think it's been settled, has it?
Well, not too much has been talked about that lately.
Yeah. And he wasn't very pleasant when he was on, you know, on with you, I understand. In the past, I think he could lose his seat. It may not. But, I mean, there are some people that are running for seats now in the House that are really in trouble. David Brat in Virginia is in real trouble. He was a Tea Party activist who came in and defeated Eric Cantor for his seat as a Republican in Virginia. That's one seat. Mia Love, the African-American woman who was from Utah, is in trouble in her seat, I've seen. I've been hearing this on the news. That's the second one. And even Steve King in Iowa, who's a white supremacist, the most outrageous member of the House, I think, is having a real contest in his district in Iowa, and he's been really promising to the extreme. And now the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee has repudiated him and condemned him for his, you know, for his rhetoric. So that's really an amazing development. So we could see some controversial members, maybe even including Jim Jordan, lose their seats.
Isn't, though, there a possibility, a school of thought, that the reason early voting is so high is because the people who voted for Trump are scared he's going to lose power if the Democrats get power, and that this early voting could be a lot more Republicans than normally vote early?
It could be, but I've gathered that that's not true in a lot of states. I guess it depends. Also, it depends on what poll or what news article do you believe. And it's not a question of fake news, but there's so many different strands that a lot depends on who you read and what you read. And I don't know. It could be true, but the thing that stands out in my mind is the story about Florida in 2016 when the early voting, they claimed that Hillary Clinton was way ahead, and then on Election Day, it seemed like almost nobody voted for Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump won. So it makes you wonder about the vote count and whether there was accuracy in the beginning and whether there was manipulation in the vote as there was, say, in 2000, obviously, in the presidential election. So it makes you wonder, what do you believe and who can you trust?
You know, we've been hearing these rumblings for a while now. Certainly back in 2004, we heard them with George W. Bush and John Kerry, and we heard them with
Ohio. Yeah, the question that it might have been flipped.
So
Ohio, that it might not have been the real results there. Yes.
Well, and Al Gore and George Bush. So are these voting machines accurate?
I have no idea, but I'll tell you, I think the best way would be, you know, I think would be to do what Oregon does, where everybody votes by mail. I really think it's the best answer. Oregon does that. They also register every person when they're 18 years of age and they're getting a driver's license, automatically registered to vote whether they vote. Oregon is way ahead of the country. And I myself in Florida, I've voted by mail. You don't have to, but I voted by mail, and I really think it's the best system, but you never fully understand or know whether everything is being done honestly, no matter where you are. There's always been questions of stolen elections or stolen votes, going all the way back to Lyndon Johnson winning his Texas Senate seat in 1948 in Texas by 87 votes and getting the nickname Landslide Lyndon.
Well, it turned out well for him, though.
Yes, it did. And then he won the biggest landslide in popular vote, you know, percentage ever in 1964 against Barry Goldwater. But he always hated that name, Landslide Lyndon, in 1948.
Well, you know, I just, in this Bloomberg, because Bloomberg, it's my understanding, always claimed to be an independent, but now he has switched to the Democratic Party and given
over $10 million he's contributed to the campaign, too, yeah.
Well, what's his grand total for the campaign?
I think $110 million I read that he was contributing.
$110
million. And more to it.
$110 million,
yeah.
Isn't that a lot of dough for a midterm campaign?
Got it. But a lot of these people on both sides are spending money. The Koch brothers, Tom Steyer is spending a lot on the Democratic side. There's so many different people. I forgot the guy's name in Las Vegas who's for the Republicans. I can't think of his name right now. He also contributed a lot. I wish this would be stopped. I don't think we should allow it. We should not have billionaires doing this on both sides. But as a result of Citizens United in 2010 of the Supreme Court decision, we can't stop it.
You know, somebody said the other day that they saw Joe Biden and they felt he was looking a little older now.
Well, he's 70. He's November 20th. He will be 76. He'll be 78 after the 2020 election, a week after. Look, when you get into your older 70s, you do look older. But look, Bernie Sanders looked old 4 years ago. He doesn't look any younger now either. And he's older than Joe Biden.
Well, that's true. But people like Bernie. The kids love Bernie Sanders.
I don't really understand why, you know, that is so to such an extreme, but it's true. I found even many of my students like Bernie Sanders. But now suddenly there's a big run toward Beto O'Rourke. I don't know why, although I don't know whether it's going to go anywhere if he doesn't win his Senate seat, but, you know, against Ted Cruz, which would be a real contribution, I think. But it is amazing how people gravitate to certain people. I guess it's charisma, I guess we call it.
What does it say if Beto wins?
Wow, that would be, I think that'd be, in my mind, the greatest victory of the night if he got Ted Cruz out, because I think Ted Cruz is disgraceful. I think it would make him a possible presidential candidate, even if he didn't announce. It certainly would make him a rock star in national politics, I think. And, of course, people say he looks a little like a Robert Kennedy type, you know, like he's a Kennedy family member, which he isn't, but, you know, the image and the charisma are there.
What about the Kennedy boy who gave the rebuttal? After the state of
Joe Virginia. III. Well, actually, Joe I've III. Written about him on History News Network. He doesn't say he's interested, but some people think he'd be a great candidate because of his connection and because of his oratory and his views. And there's some who have suggested a Joe ticket, Joe Biden and Joe Kennedy, 38 years apart. It would be an interesting ticket, but I don't know whether it would happen. But Eric Swalwell of California is another congressman who's about the same age as Kennedy. He'll be about 40 in 2020, and he's also looking to run. I don't know if he'll get very far, but he's been on a lot of cable, and he's the same age, and he's very charismatic and dynamic as well, Eric Swalwell of California. So we could have congressmen running, which would make them, if they got elected, the first one and only one other than James A. Garfield in 1880 from Ohio, who, of course, got assassinated, and I wrote about it in my assassinations book, of course. But he's the only congressman directly to go to the White House.
You know, I think the thing with Beto is that people believe that if he wins, then Democrats can win in Texas. And if he's popular in Texas, then the Democrats could maybe win Texas in a presidential year, and if they do that, then it's pretty well a done deal for them. They don't even need Florida and Ohio at that point.
Well, that's true. Ordinarily, the Midwest is crucial, but if Texas goes blue, which I think will happen by the end of the 2020s anyway, then it's going to be very hard for Republicans to win because California's lost, New York is lost, and I think Florida is going to change more and more with more Puerto Ricans moving into Florida from Puerto Rico, and even just the fact there are a lot of people already Hispanic ancestry in Florida. The Big Four, if they can have advantage in at least three of the four, and maybe Florida, wow, and that would also help Julian Castro, the former housing secretary and mayor of San Antonio, or his brother Joaquin, who's an identical twin, if they wanted to run for office, and being obviously Latino, they could also have a future, and they could be considered one or the other on the list of potential presidential candidates, yes.
So at this point, with 6 days left to go, your prediction is the Democrats will take back the House, but they will not take the Senate.
Yeah, I wish I could really say yes, but I do not think they will. If they do, it'll be a great moment to celebrate if they can win 51 seats. They might. I'd like to see Ted Cruz and Marsha Blackburn defeated, and I think Arizona and Nevada, right now there's indications that the women running there, that the Democrats will win. I think we'll have more women in the Senate, by the way, as a result of this election, which is interesting. And some more women governors probably, too, across the country. But I right now, I don't think the Republicans are going to lose the Senate. There'll probably be a 50-50 tie. But the governorships, I think there'll be probably 25 or 26 out of the 50 states that will be Democratic governorships. So we'll have to see how accurate I am. And we can, I guess, follow up a week or 10 or 2 weeks from now and discuss how wrong I was.
No. This could be right now. And how long do you think it will take Kasich to announce he's running for president?
I would think probably in December. I think we'll have a few weeks of nothing other than turmoil about Trump not accepting the loss or bellowing about the great victory. I think by early December, though, I think we will have him, and I think Elizabeth Warren will probably announce, and some others will start to announce. And really, anybody running, all 20 or 30 that might run, they have to do it by, say, January or February, because they got to go to Iowa, the caucus state, and New Hampshire, and all that. They got to start early. There's going to be a load of them. It's not going to going to just be four or five people. It's going to be at least 20 Democrats and at least five Republicans. I think that Jeff Flake will probably run. Bob Corker will probably run. I think Kasich will, maybe Romney. And also, don't forget Ben Sasse, who is one of the few people to really speak out against Trump all along, facing election in 2020, but might decide to go for president instead, unless he does poorly and drops out and then runs for the Senate. But Ben Sasse is young. He's in his mid-40s. He's someone to watch.
What about Ted Cruz and Rubio?
Well, if Cruz keeps his seat, no, I don't think he would run against Trump. Rubio, probably not, but maybe Rubio. But I don't think Cruz would actually, I hope he doesn't keep his seat. But if he does, I doubt he would run. But I think if Trump is out and Pence is in, then I think Cruz might run, and Rubio probably would want to run. And also Rand Paul would be another one. And then there's Lindsey Graham, who I can't believe how John McCain would be furious at him now making an issue of saying that we're going to pass legislation to get rid of birthright citizenship, when the answer is, Senator Graham, you can't do it by legislation. It's in the 14th Amendment. You have to have an amendment to get rid of something in an amendment, like prohibition of liquor, and then taking it out. I don't know how these people can think you can do it any other way than an amendment, which will never occur. You cannot do it by legislation or by executive order, as the president has now claimed. And I don't know what's with Graham's head. There's something wrong with him. And I think McCain would be furious if he was here now with what he's doing now, sucking up to the president, because McCain certainly did not, and we all honor him for that.
And I do want to mention that we've been chatting with Dr. Ron Fineman, who you can hear every Monday morning here on WWGH Radio. Mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp at 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Hey, next time you talk with Adam, it'll be the day before the election. It'll be election
yes,
eve.
Yes, it will. And hopefully you and I will talk a week or two after about what happened,
Absolutely. Dr. Fineman, it's always a pleasure. Happy Halloween, happy election, and we will talk soon.
Thank you so much again.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
All right, and that's all the time we have today. I wish everybody a very happy and safe Halloween. Stay tuned for more programming.
Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Entertaining interviews with celebrities and local media.